Hello and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair. You might have thought after yesterday's installment where I was laboring through it that I'd need another day off. You'd be right, but I'm back in the big chair. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work over at InsideThePylon.com where I'm one of the head writers. The Score. Check out the work over there. First piece just dropped yesterday on Alex Smith, Jay Gruden, and Boot Action Concepts. It's as fun as it sounds. Also, Matt Waldman's RSP, Rookie Scouting Portfolio, MattWaldmanRSP.com. Pro Football Weekly, Steelers Depot, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation Network, and a piece on Kyle Lauletta that should be up shortly. Basically, look, if they're writing about it and it's football, chances are I write there. I've been called the busiest man in football media. Is that true? I don't know. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it isn't. Loaded show for you today. We're going to talk preseason game one. That kicks off tomorrow night. I'm going to have what I'm looking for. Remember that? Remember back to last season when I would have those shows, the things that I'm going to be watching for? We're back. We're going to do offense, defense, and yes, special teams. But first, as teased yesterday, Let's just put it on the table. We are going to engage in some wild, butt-ass naked speculation. It's not something we do a lot of here, and you're probably going to learn why in a few minutes here. There are two players from the 2014 draft class, fearsome defensive players, perhaps the best in the league at their positions, and they have yet to report to camp. Khalil Mack of the Oakland Raiders, Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams. Mack, defensive end, fierce off the edge. Donald, a dominant force on the interior of the Rams' defensive line. Both players were exercised, their teams exercised their fifth-year options before last season. They're playing on their fifth year, the final year of their rookie contract, and both guys want to get paid. I mean, we're seeing, like, with Donald, for example, 21, 22, 23 million per, kind of the numbers being thrown around for them. Similarly, you're seeing, you know, same types of numbers being thrown out potentially for Mack. You know, Mack wants a big time long term deal. And so let's engage in some wild fun speculation. Since both guys have not reported. And when you look at least with respect to Mack, ESPN had a piece up in the past couple of days that, yeah, you know, okay, he's the 2016 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. You know, yeah, he's a guy that's, you know, first-team All-Pro type. A guy that was named first-team All-Pro at two different positions, defensive end and outside linebacker. But his holdout goes on. And here's the thing. If they can't get anything for him and he just holds out the season and walks, that's not good for Oakland. So you might as well try to get something for him. And so Paul Gurdier is at ESPN listed him as a potential trade candidate. Another guy, look, is Aaron Donald. And I know that sounds crazy too. But he has yet to report. And there was a piece over at Patriots Wire speculating that maybe the Patriots should try to get in on the Aaron Donald train. And look at things from Donald's perspective, at least out in L.A. They gave $14 million in the offseason to Ndamukong Suh. They took on Aqib Talib's $11 million salary for 2018. They ponied up over $80 million in guaranteed money to both Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks. And you're Aaron Donald, perhaps the best player at your position in the league right now, and you're still twisting in the wind a bit. So let's deal at the outset with how this would work on the field from an X's and O's standpoint. Pretty well, I'd say. Put Aaron Donald next to Danny Shelton on the inside of that Patriots defense when you go four-man front type situations. I rest my case. Like, you're not running against that. You know, you're going to have to bounce things out to the edges. And then you've got, you know, Claiborne, you've got Rivers, you've got Flowers. Hopefully you're a little bit more athletic on the second level. You're certainly going to have guys up front in those two guys that will occupy blockers. So you're going to be unblocked at the second level. And so would Aaron Donald sort of fit? Yeah, he would fit. Khalil Mack, would he fit with this Patriots defense? Yeah, I think he'd fit. You know, you look at a potential situation where you've got Claiborne at one edge, Mack at the other, kicking Flowers down on third and long situations with either Malcolm Brown or Danny Shelton left on the field to occupy on the interior. That's going to work for you. You put Mack across from Trey Flowers, Mack's going to see the bulk of double teams. Flowers is going to be able to do some things. If he doesn't, you've got Adrian Claiborne, who you added. Dietrich Rise, Derek Rivers still in the mix. That's a pass rushing group. For all the years in New England that we've worried about the pass rush, it's been such a constant, you know, focus of discussion, the lack of a pass rush. Khalil Mack probably fixes your pass rushing problems. Boom, done. It works from an X's and O's standpoint. Let's not forget, too, as we sit here right now, the Patriots have, although it's not definitive, 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. They've got their first round. They've got a second rounder of their own, a second rounder from Chicago, a third rounder from Detroit, as well as 2 potential compensatory picks in the third round, which you can trade. So you can envision a package of a first and a second, and Chicago's second might be a good one. So that might be 2 picks in the first 40. For one of these guys. Or a first, a second, and a third. I mean, you could put together some stuff that would make it a nice little deal. So it works from that standpoint as well. But now it's time for me to throw some cold water on this fire I just created and be realistic for a minute. There are 2 reasons why it could make sense. Schematically, from an X's and O's standpoint, and from a draft picks perspective, the Patriots do have a lot. But there are 4 big reasons why it's not going to make sense. First, cap space. Patriots, judging by our boy Pat's cap, his current handle on Twitter, which is the easy, if you're ever wondering, oh, I wonder how much cap space the Patriots have right now. Easiest way to do it is go to @PatsCap on Twitter. And his handle is always updated. Cap space right now, $7,843,000. Probably not enough to get it done for this year. And then when you go beyond that, yeah, they free up a little bit. But there are teams with, say, more cap space. Like I've read about, you know, the Green Bay Packers perhaps get in the mix. And they're a team that has 2 first-round picks. They've got $35 million in cap space lined up this year. I mean, for next year, excuse me, where the Pats only have 24. So there are going to be teams that have more cap space. So that's issue number 1, and it's a big one. Issue number 2, also a big one. Both of these teams would be insane to trade these guys. It's shocking to me that both of these guys continue to be holding out. If I were Gruden, if I were McVay, if I were, you know, Reggie McKenzie, if I were some of the decision makers with these organizations, I'd have these guys, I'd have it done. You don't want to be in a situation where you let these guys walk. They're game-changing type players. Guys that don't come around every so often. Number 3, organizational philosophy from New England's perspective. More likely than not, it's the Patriots that are in the shoes of the Rams and the Raiders facing a decision and just making a trade. We saw it with Collins. We saw it with Chandler Jones. You know, that's sort of their MO. If they don't want to give the guy the huge payday that he's asking for, we'll get what we can and move on. Next man up. All that fun stuff. And finally, and this is one, you know, sort of glaring con, you know, if you're looking at pros and cons when it comes to this, from my perspective, and you know where I'm going with this, We expected the Patriots to be in on a quarterback last year's draft. Unless Danny Etlin shocks the world, they might still need to be in on a quarterback in next year's draft. And that's why having those, the first rounder, the 2 second rounders, including one from Chicago, the 3 potential third rounders, having potentially 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, that might enable you to go get a quarterback if somebody stands out. Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. Ryan Finley from NC State. There are guys in this class that could surprise that we might want to go get in next year's draft. And so, while acquiring one of these guys certainly extends or improves the roster in the short term here in the Brady window will come to an end, as much as we all want to deny it. And we're going to need a guy eventually, likely coming through the draft. So if you're giving up, if you're talking giving up a first and a second, or a first and 2 seconds, or something like that, you might miss out on them. So, some wild butt-ass naked speculation, and then we throw in a bucket of cold water on all your heads. It's not going to happen. Would it be? Could it work on the field? Of course. But the other considerations are too big. Let's talk experiences. I've talked before about experiences going to games, things that you will remember for a lifetime. And our friends at Vivid Seats, they want to help you with that. They are an online ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. They offer great prices for NFL games and all live events. The NFL is coming back. Patriots play tomorrow night. Locked On listeners can receive 10% off their first purchase with Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com or download the podcast and enter promo code Locked On. That's one word when you check out. New customers only. This offer is only good through the end of this month, through the end of August. But all Vivid Seats are confirmed and they are backed by 100% guarantee from them. This season, don't sit around watching the Pats from home when you can be at Gillette in the crowd, cheering in person, thanks to Vivid Seats. They are offering Locked On Patriots listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use the exclusive promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On. Again, new customers only. The offer is just good through the end of the month, so get on it now. Preseason and regular season games are available now. The Pats play tomorrow night at Gillette against Washington. You can be there for the excitement. Go to vividseats.com or download the app. Either way, use promo code Locked On for 10% off your first order. The NFL is back. The offseason is over. Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. Up next, we're going to talk offense and defense for this game tomorrow night between Washington and New England. What I'm going to be watching. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Wednesday installment of Locked On Patriots. And we got a game to talk about. Believe it or not, we have an actual game to talk about. Patriots kicking off their preseason tomorrow night, August 9th, at Gillette. You can be there, Vivid Seats. Use that promo code Locked On when you get tickets. Here's the stuff that I'm looking for. We're going to talk offense and defense here in this segment. We'll save special teams in the third segment of the show. You know me. I don't shortchange. It's a three-phase game, friends. Belichick stresses special teams. We stress special teams here at Locked On Patriots. But let's talk offense first. And with the exception of probably breaking down to a nerdy extent every single throw that Danny Etlin makes, I'm not really that concerned otherwise with sort of the execution side of things. Particularly when it comes to the offense, there's an old adage which I firmly believe in, having played the game my entire life on the offensive side of the ball. Offense comes along slower than defense. The execution on the offensive side of the ball is always going to be a few steps behind the defensive side of the ball. It's just, I've always seen it in my life, in my experience. You read about it every sort of training camp season, teams talking about all the defenses ahead of where the offense is. There are arguably more moving parts on the offensive side of the ball. A little bit easier, just a little bit, to sort things out on the defensive side of the ball. Plus, at the end of the day, you're reading and reacting. Whereas offense, you're trying to execute. Defensive guys, don't get mad at me. Defensive guys and girls out there, don't get mad at me, okay? I still am a quarterback at heart, but don't harp on that one too much. So, that being said, while I'm not harping on the execution too much, I will probably analyze and overanalyze every single throw that Danny Etlin makes, but that's because I'm a quarterback nerd, and that's part of my sickness. But what I am watching, what I will be watching very curiously, is the rotations at a couple of offensive spots. The playing time at a couple of offensive spots. Now, I don't know. We haven't heard definitively how much the ones are going to play too much. But I'm very curious. For example, the wide receiver group. Maybe we see Edelman and Hogan for a series. Maybe we see Edelman, Hogan, and Patterson for a series. Who are the next guys that come in? Is it like we expect? You know, Dorsett, Britt, Decker? And after that, who are the fours and the fives? That's what I want to see. I want to see the guys that are getting the run, you know, early in the second quarter. You know, guys that are getting the play in the first half. Same thing with the offensive line. I want to see the guys that are going to be in the mix for that, say, swing tackle spot. Is it like we expect, Adrian Waddle, or has somebody sort of made a move? Do we see Isaiah Wynn in a tackle, or is he solely at guard? Do we see Trent Brown at the left tackle spot only, or do we see him on the right side at all? I want to see usage when it comes to the offensive line. I want to see this battle for tight end too. We're hearing a lot of things about Jacob Hollister. Bill Belichick has been talking about Jacob Hollister a lot. Seems to like what he's doing. And we've talked about on this show, Doug Kayed talked about it over at Nesson.com. Dwayne Allen is a potential cut. If the Patriots decide to keep just two tight ends, they might go with Gronkowski and Hollister. So I want to see, you know, how early is Hollister in the mix? Does he get some action early? Earlier than we expect? Does he maybe get a little bit run with not just the twos, but the ones? So I'm looking at rotation. I'm very curious, of course, with the running backs too, how those guys are used. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for usage and rotations and where these guys are utilized, who's playing in the first half versus who's playing in the second half. And it's similar when we look at the defensive side of the ball. Up front, I want to see how quickly Dietrich Wise and Derek Rivers get onto the field. If we see Derek Rivers in the first quarter, if we see him early in the first quarter, I'm going to be excited. Because that tells me that he's coming along. And, you know, when it comes to Rivers, what's been interesting is that similar to Hollister, we're seeing some of that praise from Belichick. Now, I haven't heard, you know, I haven't seen a ton of reports where he's flashed or, you know, guys observing practices. But when Belichick is taking notice, that usually means something. So I want to see how quickly he gets on the field. When it gets to that second level of the defense, the big glaring question mark is the athleticism. Has it been addressed? Is this team, is this second unit, is this second level of defense going to be athletic enough to compete against today's NFL schemes? The RPOs, the misdirection stuff, the stuff that the Eagles just gashed this defense with last year in the Super Bowl. Is it going to be athletic enough? Yes, they get Hightower back. You know, we know what that can do. I want to see, you know, Marquise Flowers being athletic back there. I'm very curious to see Christian Sam, Juwan Bentley, those two guys. How are they going to fit in with this defense? You know, the rookie linebackers that they drafted in this past draft class. You know, they're, you know, bubble type guys. You know, how will they sort of get onto the field? Will it have to be only on special teams? Will they be able to get out there? You know, I really think that Sam could be that athletic guy. They're projecting him as more of a weak side linebacker. That's usually your athletic type linebacker anyway. An interesting sort of roster battle might be Roberts versus Bentley. You know, two downhill thumper types. So I'm interested to see how quickly those guys get on the field. And in the secondary, you know, the CB3, CB4 type spots. Or even CB2. Been reading recently, Jason McCourty has been mentioned as a surprise potential cut if he doesn't sort of lock down that CB2 spot across from Stephon Gilmore. So I want to see, you know, obviously who gets the early play. Then I want to see later on as we get into this game, who are the third and fourth, you know, outside boundary corners out there? How quickly do they get some of the rookies in? You know, whether it's Duke Dawson or Keon Crossan. You know, so I'm not worried about execution in week one of the preseason. I'm more curious to see usage, rotations, and personnel groupings. You know, that's the attention that I'm really going to pay. And that's where I think you should have your eyes too. But we're all going to be watching different things. That's why we love the game. And it's just good to have games back. Up next, we're going to close it out with a couple of quick thoughts on special teams. Two areas that I'm going to be watching as we get into the Patriots' first preseason game against the Washington Redskins, which you can be at, and is at Gillette tomorrow night. Go to vividseats.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON when you purchase your tickets. Get 10% off. Special teams talk. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back here to close out this Wednesday installment of Locked On Patriots. We're going to talk quickly about special teams on Thursday night. The kicking spot, unless Stephen Gostkowski gets injured, that is his. We don't need to spend too much time on that. There are two interesting battles sort of shaping up elsewhere in special teams. First, the punter spot. Ryan Allen, veteran punter, left-footed punter for the New England Patriots out of Louisiana Tech. Obviously, he's your returning punter. He's done a great job for the Patriots since taking over the gig for New England. But he's getting pushed a little bit from behind by another left-footed punter, rookie Corey Borriquez from New Mexico. And I'm interested to see the rookie punt. You know, you do the roster projections, other people do roster projections, and punter in New England, as it is with other spots, it's one of those situations where if you can get a rookie punting for cheap, it's a nice sort of way to save some money for the team. And when you look at the Patriots sort of from a roster salary cap perspective, you know, it's not that Ryan Allen is making a ton of money for the team. You know, but when you look at it, you know, Ryan Allen as a punter is making, once I can put my fingertip on it here, and it's taking a little bit. Okay. So $2 million is his cap number for this year. And now you look at the rookie punter, Borriquez, $480,000. Sort of league minimum type contract. And that's $1.5 million for a team that's got some cap things to worry about. If you can get the same kind of production, you know, for $1.5 million cheaper, it's certainly worth exploring. So that's going to be an interesting battle to play out. And finally, you knew it wasn't going to be an episode of Locked On Patriots talking about preseason stuff without a Braxton Berrios mention. Braxton Berrios, is he the punt returner with Julian Edelman on suspension? They've got other guys in the mix that can do it. They've been trying out some guys. Eric Decker, who's maybe returned three punts in his career. He was fielding some punts at practice on Tuesday. Patrick Chun's done it before. But Berrios is very experienced in that department. It was one of the things he did at Miami. One of the things he did down at the Senior Bowl, down in Mobile. So I'm curious to see if we see early in this game, maybe even first quarter, Braxton Berrios out there returning punts. If we do, that's going to tell you a couple of things. It's going to tell you that they trust this kid. It's going to tell you that, look at that wide receiver room. You know, if Berrios sneaks onto this roster, it might be because he contributed as a punt returner early, particularly with the Edelman suspension. And that might make it a little bit of a tougher numbers game for some of the other fringe wide receivers, like a Kenny Britt, like an Eric Decker, who maybe can't give you that. And so when it gets down to the numbers nitty-gritty, the ability to contribute in all three phases might be something that gives, you know, young Braxton Berrios a shot at the roster. And so those are the things that I'm going to be watching. Again, from a win perspective, I don't care if they win or lose. I want everyone to get through this game healthy. Obviously, that's a huge thing. The execution, don't care about that so much. I want to see the rotations. I want to see the usage. I want to see how these guys are moved in and out. I want to see who's playing early. That's going to give you at least our first true indicator of how these guys are being looked at, perceived, and valued by this coaching staff. Of course, I'll ridiculously, and to a ridiculously nerdy extent, break down the game for you on Friday's show. I still haven't decided if I'm going to call it a Glorious Victory Edition or anything like that, because it is just the preseason. Might have to save those for the regular season when the games really start to count. But I'll break it all down Friday. Tomorrow, I'll have some final thoughts before the game. Also, we're going to talk to Taylor Kyles of Pat's Pulpit for get his thoughts, what he's looking for on the opening night of the 2018 preseason. That's the rest of the week ahead. Until then, Thanks for listening. As always, check out vividseats.com, nordictrack.com/lockedon. Give our sponsors a click. Also, subscribe to the show if you can. Share it out on social media. You know, follow me on Twitter at Max Schofield so you can share out the shows. The more the people listen, the happier I'll be, the happier everybody at Locked On will be, the more I'll get to do these shows, which is always fun. So help me help you. Until next time, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.